Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio. On today's show, will the Chiefs be resigned to winning ugly this season? And Mission Hills has a pickleball problem. Special guests include J.J. Piccolo at 10:30. Now, two guys who need a fresh pair of undies after watching the new Mission Impossible trailer, Cody Tapp and Alex Gold.
I did watch the new trailer, and it looks fantastic. I'm not typically putting Mission Impossible above Bourne series, for example, but the last two Mission Impossible movies have been fantastic.
I thought the new Thor trailer looked very good.
I have not seen that.
Ooh. I really liked Thor Ragnarok, so I was like, this one looks very good.
I'm locked in more to Top Gun this weekend. Get to go see it. Tonight, there's like an early access event. Thought about it, but the new Top Gun Maverick, all the reviews are
like
phenomenal.
Like the only special fancy people are invited to?
No, that would only be stuff you go to, Cody. Remember this?
What are you talking about?
This would only be stuff that you go to. You get the Crown Club seats, not me.
Have you ever been to a red carpet premiere?
No,
never.
See, I actually thought he was going to say yes because he would have been like, "Well, the Jackie Robinson movie was in Kansas City for the premiere 42," and I figured you were going to say you were at because a lot of media were.
I've never been to a red carpet premiere.
Have you ever been in a film?
No,
but you've been filmed.
I've been filmed, sure. Been in a film?
So.
Either way, I am excited for the Top Gun movie. I really am looking forward to that. And every review continues to be fantastic for it. It's been delayed for a while.
A pre-show discussion. Did we settle on the fact that Tom Cruise, greatest action movie actor ever?
Yeah.
Is it like
we had conversations, we met some other people, yeah. But I don't think there's another argument.
There's some others that had very, and we can get to this later, but like very impressive careers that fit, but I don't think any of them top what Tom Cruise has done action movie wise.
I mean, people are going to mention Schwarzenegger, or Bruce Willis, or Harrison Ford.
Yeah, Harrison Ford's actually, honestly, he might be.
Strong argument because he's in the Star Wars movies.
He might
and
be.
Indiana Jones.
If he's not at the top, he might be number two on the list.
I think if you just said the last 10 years, or I guess 20 years, I'd bring in Keanu.
The Matrix and John Wick.
But he doesn't have the depth. No. Tom Cruise has Top Gun, Mission Impossible.
Keanu had Speed, too.
I know, but for every movie like Speed, there's the space movie with him and Emily, like the...
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow, which was fantastic. Or like, he even has a subsect of action movies like Jack Reacher that are good.
Now people are texting
in. He's got subsects of it. It's got to be Cruise.
Someone says Jackie Chan as well. We haven't even mentioned his name in the mix.
When was the last time you thought, I definitely need to watch a Jackie Chan movie?
It's
a
name.
It's a name to consider. Maybe we'll get into this.
Have you seen Shanghai Noon?
I have.
Huh? What's that do for you?
I have seen that movie.
Rush
actually.
Hour?
I never need to see either of those movies ever again.
I love the Rush Hour series, all right?
Dude, Rush Hour is incredible.
Love the Rush Hour series. All right, we'll get into
someone's
going to
bring up The Rock, but he doesn't have one classic.
That's true. I agree with that.
Like, what's the one? What's
or
the Rock's
could, or
classic?
We could just go with this for the whole hour too. That's actually would be
Let's
perfectly
do this till
fine.
11 o'clock.
Be perfectly fine with me. No, I do want to pick this conversation up some more a little bit later. We are going to be joined by the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, coming up at 10:30. 40 game mark of the season, the Royals have lost 5 in a row, and we'll ask him if they, as an organization, have reevaluated the short-term and long-term goals now that we know where they're at, 40-plus games into this 2022 season. But you did hear from Nick in the intro, ugliness with the Chiefs. Is that how they're going to have to get it done?
So the way I was thinking about it is I understand their plan. I don't disagree with the way that they're approaching it, but there's still a limitation for how this plan works. What do they do if their offense isn't the sixth best or the fifth best or the fourth best, but 10th? And I think that's where they have to start altering their plans. And I was trying to decide last night what they turn into if they are the 10th best offense, because then they have to go back to the Alex Smith days. If you're the 10th best offense, you aren't where you have been. You are just one of many decent offensive teams who falls into the mix. And then how do you win games? Because you can be as big of an optimist as you want to be on defense, and you certainly more optimistic typically going into the year on defense than I am. Yeah. And we were both kind of wrong. You're like, they're going to be top 10, and I said they're going to be bottom 5, and they were 17th. So they were perfectly mediocre when it came down to it, with a start to the season that was absolutely awful, and honestly an end to the season that did not go great with their final two games in the playoffs. But I think the way that they'll win games if they end up being the 10th best is Andy will be fine with playing ugly football. And what I mean is they went after players that clearly are more aggressive, more violent, or whatever you want to say, in Leo Chenault and in the offensive linemen in Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith last year. And they'll be fine to try to win games, and will try to win games 21-17. I know we don't like to watch Chiefs games like that because that's how other NFL teams do it, but that's how the Steelers have been winning 10-plus games for a decade. And I think that, to me, that's Andy Reid's backup plan. His backup plan is to win ugly, and because he's a good enough coach and Patrick Mahomes is a good enough quarterback, they can do that.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the last two are the most important of the entire situation for the Chiefs and whatever problems that you have. If you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and it's not that Andy Reid doesn't make mistakes in coaching during a season, but that is, in a close game, the biggest advantage they're going to have over everybody. The combination of quarterback and coach. No matter what other issues that they have in an individual game, if it's down to a tie game with 6 minutes to go, and I have Mahomes and Andy Reid, I'm taking that every single time over any other combination in football. We would agree. In the past, you could have said Belichick and Brady. We know that doesn't exist anymore. So that's where I would be in that situation. But look at last year, Cody. I would argue they won ugly multiple times last year as well. Right, and there were stressful times, but I mean, there were some clunkers last year, and they found ways to win them, and still end up as one of the top seeds in the AFC, and still won the AFC West. I mean, even week one of the season, when it was our first glimpse of some of the issues that were going to be there, specifically defensively, but even offensively, you know, they won it by 4 points in week one. They lost by one to the Ravens, as we all know, in week two of the season, and then you go and look later on. There's multiple games like against the Packers where it was a 13-7, like ugly win against the Aaron Rodgers-less Green Bay Packers, or the week before on that Monday night game where the Chiefs almost lost to the Giants and it was a 20-17 win. The Cowboys game as well, 19-9. Like they won kind of ugly last year, and that's three or four examples a season ago, and all those ended up actually being wins in the ugly ones, right? The Giants, the Packers, and the Cowboys. So, yes, I would say that's probably going to happen, but we saw a little bit of it last year as well. I don't know if it would be all that new.
They did it a couple of games. Their season last year was, you know, I made fun of Cincinnati for being a little inconsistent. The Chiefs were consistent, but were in two separate sects, if that makes sense. They were consistently bad offensively in the middle, consistently good defensively in the middle, and then we're all over the place for the first four games where they were, I mean, first four games, you might think, well, they lost a couple of those games. They scored 30 points a game. They were good on offense. Their problem was defensively. They were the worst defensive team, like, in the history of the NFL for the first 4 weeks. They were awful. That's how they were losing games. It had nothing to do with their ability to score points. But, and I'm not saying they've never done that. Good teams always win a couple of games like that. I just think they might have to lean way more into that if they end up being this 10th offense, because that's what they did in the Alex Smith thing. And again, it's not going to be enjoyable football, but it's just like, what is the backup choice? They can't just choose to be, you know what we're going to do? We're going to rely on the defense more. No.
Right.
Even if you're an optimist, no. Oh, they're going to be a run heavy team. No.
Yeah.
They're not doing that. That's not what they're switching to. Your only argument offense would be they become the screen team again, which I think you've been arguing for.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I think a lot of us have looked at the last couple of years. It just hasn't happened. But then you do see Ronald Jones being part of the mix. You see Juju Smith-Schuster and MVS, who are a little bit better blocking wide receivers as well. And we know what the offensive line is, and it makes a little bit of sense that perhaps we could finally see the screen game even more than we have in the past. The one thing I was going to ask you, though, is I think we're all asking bottom of the barrel offensively, where are they? And I still think they won't finish any worse than eighth offensively in the NFL this year just because of track record under Andy Reid, and you have Patrick Mahomes and that whole idea of the end result statistically, points per game, which is really what we're talking about here, will be right there where they have been the last year or two. I don't think that is a huge drop off from where they have been. Now, it's going to look different. We've acknowledged this over and over without Tyreek Hill, how they're going to have to go about their business. But I don't think suddenly they're going, like, I'd be surprised if they're 10th or 11th offensively. I think they're still going to be in that 7-8 range. And of course, if you're looking from the most positive end, maybe they still find a way to sneak up and be in the top five. But I think a safe estimate is they're going to be like the 7th or 8th best offense. I would be surprised if they're outside the top 10, man. I would be really, really surprised. I would say, who got hurt? I would say, did Kelce get hurt? Did somebody else get hurt?
I know, but like, this is the problem. Like, the Royals have been running. What's your plan if some of your, like, everyone will get better plan doesn't go? Because I agree with you. It's hard to imagine a world in which
the difference is they have basically one of, if not the best head coach in football, and they have the best quarterback in football. Like, that's the difference,
yeah,
where like the Royals comparison doesn't work, because the two most important spots on, you know, the coach and the quarterback, they have the top tier of that. The
sure.
Royals obviously don't have that at any level, really. So,
but they struggled to adjust last season when it was thrown in their face. You got to be something different. It took them weeks and weeks and weeks to come to that conclusion, both offensively and defensively. They were so bad defensively. It's like, are you going to do anything different? And they're like, no, we're going to do this. Like, seriously, do something differently. And they're like, okay, so the backup plan ended up being, okay, Juan Thornhill, we're not playing Hughes anymore, we're playing Fenton, and offensively, we are going to have to tighten the screws to the point of, let's figure out a way to be better. Like, but they had to, and it took them a while. They were not good at it. It was not a quick adjustment. It took time and time and time. I'm saying going into this season, if you think there's a chance, like if there's a chance you're the sixth best offense, there is a chance you're the 10th best, and that all of your plans of MVS, and like you're saying, look, who got hurt? What if it's just, what if McColl throws off their holding? What if just a McColl injury throws it off? Or Juju Smith-Schuster injury just throws it off? Like, those guys, enough. It doesn't take, it's, I don't know, because they don't have the higher end talent.
What's your floor offensively for them?
Without injury?
Well, I mean, I think, whenever we do this, we're talking about assuming, guys, you don't have catastrophic injuries. We do that with any team. Otherwise, we would change our outlook for the entire NFL season for every team if we say
10th?
Okay.
Like, I think 10th.
So you still, though,
because that's
like,
essentially why I'm still asking the backup plan. What is the plan if you are 10th?
But I guess I would just putting it in perspective. If worst case scenario backup plan is 10th, then they're probably not going to be worst case scenario, though, offensively. So that means you probably think they're still going to be 6th, 7th, or 8th. Because, again, if worst case scenario at doomsday is 10th, I still feel pretty damn good about the Chiefs' chances offensively this year. Everything goes wrong.
But if you score the 10th most points in the NFL, you don't win 13 games, 12 games. You know, it's, you're right. But that goes back to my whole theory. Kansas City will just win more games because they can. Like, Cincinnati won 10 games. They were 9th in the NFL in points per game. Arizona was 10th in the NFL in points per game. Indianapolis. But some of these teams had better defenses, obviously, than Kansas City. Indianapolis was 8th. They finished with 9 wins. Like, it's,
and Arizona was 10th, and their quarterback was out for multiple weeks, and Hopkins was out the whole back half of the season.
So here's, which means they would have finished better than 10th. So, like, that's the argument. Philadelphia is really, they're 12th, right? They're right around that same thing. The argument is, it feels like the backup plan is we have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
And damn good backup plan.
So, yeah. But that was their backup plan last. That was their plan when they got in trouble last year. Like, well, Mahomes, fix it. And in the AFC title game, that's when they came up short. They came up short because they're like, Mahomes, fix our problems, and it was too late.
100% with you. It's just, again, like, you can say optimistic or not, but, like, they couldn't figure it out, and they they were still in an AFC title game and had the lead at halftime. I mean, sure. Like if this is like the doomsday scenario, and
they go to another AFC
title game and they're right there and they have a chance to do it.
I think it's different because
my chances. If you told me the exact same scenario plays out again, the Chiefs are in an AFC title game and they have a double digit lead in the AFC title game, I like my chances that they'll actually win that game.
But here's the problem. Last year, that was their plan and they were the fourth best offense. If that's your plan and you're the 10th best offense, I don't think you're playing in an AFC title game in which you have the lead at half against Cincinnati. I think it's a very different circumstance. That's more a wild card round divisional. Neither of us think the worst case scenario means they're not in the postseason. But I mean, I'm trying to figure out what their backup plan is, because last year, I don't think they had one. I think they're just like, we're going to be good. And then it took them 5 weeks to decide we're not good on defense. What's our plan to get pressure on the quarterback now? Are we going to blitz more?
Yeah, I think the argument...
Well, you got to play some other guys less if that's what you're going to do.
I think the argument there is that you have a full offseason now and you've brought in different personnel, sure, that now that you realize, especially since you don't have Tyreek Hill, you are going to have to go about it differently offensively.
You got a better plan.
So in your mind,
more time to plan, sorry,
how they're going to have to play, the personnel potentially could fit that better. Nobody's saying that they're better without Tyreek Hill, but if you listen to like... The potential plan, does this personnel fit how they're going to have to win games better? And there's a chance that the answer to that is yes for how they're going to have to go about doing so. But that's why this offseason, this training camp, and the early portion of the season is going to be so fascinating for a team that consistently has won the division and all this. The unknown factor of what is it really going to look like to get to the point that I still think they're going to get to in terms of numbers and eventually wins. And we were going through the schedule a couple weeks ago and went out, and we were both around the same 11-12 win team. Oof. And that puts you in that puts you right in the mix with everybody else.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be doomsday. It's certainly not that. A lot of this is just whether or not, you know, whether or not Kansas City's backup plan looks different than last year. And look, having more time to prepare for your alternate reality certainly helps, because they could not have predicted that the NFL defenses, I mean, I guess they could have, but they didn't predict that NFL defenses were going to play them completely different last year. There's more than just sports going on in the Kansas City area, more than just the Chiefs. I hope you saw this yesterday. A lawsuit over pickleball?
Oh, yes.
Mission Hills?
Mission Woods mayor, wife says noise from converted pickleball courts are a repetitive nuisance in the area. So the mayor of Mission Woods, that's the important part here. This is not just random resident. This is the mayor of Mission Woods, and his wife have filed a lawsuit against the Mission Hills Country Club after hearing what they describe as the persistent pop of pickleball being played near their home. Now, you know, Nick, you've played pickleball. We've all played pickleball.
I've never played pickleball.
What?
I'll be honest with you.
You know what pickleball is, though.
I mean, no.
What do you mean? Like,
what do you mean,
like,
no?
Is pickleball, I know what
you've probably played it in elementary school or something. Like, we played it in gym class.
I know what racketball is.
Yeah,
we played badminton in gym class. We didn't play pickleball.
Okay, fair enough. Okay,
racquetball, where you go into like the room with the glass doors and then you just like smash
that's
the ball.
Racquetball.
Okay, think
that's
tennis.
That's racquetball.
Yeah.
Think tennis meets ping pong meets badminton, and that's pretty much pickleball.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, if you had a box full of sporting equipment and somewhere in there was like a pickleball and a pickleball racket, I wouldn't be able to pick it out. Like, I don't even know what it looks like.
This feels like something you would enjoy.
But I'm not saying I wouldn't enjoy it. I'm just saying I don't know what it is.
So they live near Shawnee Mission Parkway, Mission Woods Road. They share, I guess, some property line with the country club. It's like 90 feet from the new pickleball courts. These are new pickleball courts, I guess, they installed.
Because it's very popular right now, so the country club was trying to honor current times.
They say the noise coming from the pickleball courts has, quote, severely disrupted the tranquil and peaceful environment that the Franklins have expected. Among the issues they cite as concern, they also mention loud music, additional cars for the players, pickleball being played from morning to night. Pickleball typically creates a sound which is near the most sensitive frequency range of human hearing.
What? Like, who's done the research on that?
Just that all day.
Sounds kind of like tennis. It's a little more frequent.
It's a little more poppy than tennis. It's a little more shrill than tennis.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like I'm not like want to claw
like
my
staccato. It's like, bah, bah.
Do you find it offensive to the ears?
I find it quite annoying.
I mean, I will say, if you're in your home and you can hear this nonstop,
get sound control glass. Thanks to the Window Source of Kansas
that's
City.
It. That's
find
it.
A solution.
I mean,
this is even more dumb than the people who sued over golf balls hitting their house. You live next to a country club. People can do stuff at a country club. That includes pickleball courts. Did you vote on that, or did the country club just build them? How's the rest of this work? Presumably, you're a member of the country club, or have to be, if you're living in Mission Hills. Am I supposed to feel bad for them? I don't feel bad
for
them.
There's actually a video I found on YouTube of a guy who is in a very similar situation. The video is from 2018, but he lives across the street from a pickleball court. He actually has one of those sound decibel readers. He stands in his driveway as people are playing pickleball visibly across the street and is picking up about 70 decibels.
That's pretty loud.
Of pickleball. And then a car passes by and it's only 68. So pickleball louder than a car. So how would you feel if there was just constantly a car running right outside your house?
So I mean, this guy lives on Shawnee Mission Parkway, so that already happens.
True.
So he chose a busy street. Now he's like, wait, it's busy here. Like, well, yeah. You chose a thing right across from a country club. You could have been in the neighborhood.
So based on the noise we just played, like that would be very, very annoying. Now, here's where things are at with it at this point. So the lawsuit alleged the country club has been made aware of the complaints and has continued to allow the tennis court to be used as pickleball courts. The family requested a temporary and permanent injunction that would permit the country club from building new pickleball courts. And then now this is from KCTV5, they got a copy of a letter that was sent to the country club's members, and it went on to say essentially that they informed them of a recent lawsuit from a non-member neighbor.
Wait! This guy's not even a member of the club?
Oh, get bent.
A non-member neighbor claims that pickleball play on court 5 constitutes a nuisance under Kansas law and should be prohibited. And then they went through and they've said they've gone through and instituted several efforts to lessen the impact of pickleball play on the club's neighbors, including an acoustic barrier, limiting pickleball play to certain hours, diverting all social gatherings away from the
courts. This is happening during the day, correct? This isn't happening at 2 a.m.
The lawsuit initially alleged that it was from 6 a.m. to 11 that they claim that
okay,
there was
well,
some pickleball being played.
So these people
that's
live
during the day.
Like, imagine moving to a house on the corner of Shawnee Mission Parkway and Mission Woods Road and then being like, it's too busy here. It's too much noise. Why did you live so close to something? If you don't, like, this is just my general philosophy. You can't live in downtown New York and be like, it's too busy, too many cars. But you, like, if you want to live in a rural area, that is available to you.
And generally speaking, it's more affordable to live farther away from city centers.
Or you could live more enclosed in that same neighborhood. There are areas near Shawnee Mission Parkway that have houses that don't live on busy roads or don't have pickleball courts near them. Live there.
So they're this is ongoing, and they're again trying to prohibit the playing of pickleball within 600 feet of their bordering property line. That's where things stand. Again, I can't get over the fact that it's the mayor that is actually the mayor that is actually involved.
I've
in
always
lawsuit.
Wondered what mayors really do other than just like kind of public events, you know, like showing up somewhere and giving a speech or something.
Like, what's your day to day like?
This is it.
Yeah,
no, I was gonna handle this issue.
I will say this, the Mission Woods, which is the city that this gentleman's the mayor of, is got fewer than 2,000 residents. I mean, it's not like
so
it's
you're
not the
calling
same.
Him, no, so I'm you're calling him not, a fake mayor.
No, I'm saying it's not the same as being the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri.
He's he has even less to do.
So
Nick,
he deserves less respect.
No, but
in your estimation,
no. What you were saying was saying that he doesn't deserve respect because you were saying, what does he do? I'm telling you that he's a small town mayor.
No, I don't think he. I think he. I think he sounds like a great mayor.
Text from my friend Kurt.
Personally.
Like the text from Kurt, Chris, he's like, this is the most 1% problem of all time.
Well, yeah, I mean, it literally.
This minorly affecting maybe like 300 people.
Well, yeah, the
Mission Hills Country Club members who would like to play pickleball.
But so,
and the one dude on the corner who has a problem with it.
What's our general, what would you say is the universal feeling towards pickleball? Is this a pro pickleball
I like pickleball. I think it's fun.
Chicken and pickles. They've opened more locations. So
but
most people
like, I'm interested in learning more about pickleball.
should we have a group outing?
You should talk to Dana and Parks over on KMBZ because they do a pickleball. They have a pickleball team or something that they play.
Pete's in a league?
Okay, so yesterday we were trying to do adult field day. Do we instead do Cody and Gold pickleball night?
Well, I have never played, so I need a little introduction. I think I would be better than both you guys, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
Actually,
you absolutely whooped my ass in ping pong.
Yeah, so are you sure about that?
Yeah, maybe not.
That wasn't particularly close.
But does this require agility?
There is more movement in it.
Okay, so I got you then.
I think we should find out if any of our listeners are members at Mission Hills Country Club so we can go play pickleball court 5 or so. Specifically right around court 5 or so, just to see exactly what the fuss is all about.
If you happen to be a member and are listening to this show, we'd like an in, please. Can you get a guest pass?
Someone says, my guess is this lawsuit's being pushed by the mayor's wife and not him.
That's sexist. That is sexist.
That's from the text line.
Oh, man. I know that it's not easy to just move, but man, if you choose to live that close, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, then let's just let this run
underneath
the show and see how long we can make it.
Feels like it'd be a lot. It'd be very distracting for show purposes.
Why? It's the same sound over and over again. Maybe it's like the AC running in the background. You hardly notice it, right?
After a while, probably. The shoe squeak, I think I'm hearing more than the pickleball sound. I don't like the shoe squeak. I find that much more offensive than
Yeah, but you hear that during basketball games.
I also don't like it then.
Okay.
You just get used to it after a while.
Is there a way we can make the shoes less squeakier? Have them play on dirt. Would that fix the problem?
Yeah, that's exactly the solution. All right, coming up next, we will be joined by the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, and we'll ask him right around the 40-game mark if they've altered their short and long-term goals.
You're listening to Cody and Gold. Tune in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour every day at 11:30 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Nick Schwartz with you. We'll get to Nick's notable notes coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But I want to welcome in the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo. And J.J., we were actually in the prior segment talking about pickleball because there's some couple that's suing a country club here in town because the noise from the pickleball court, I guess, is disrupting them. So I don't know. Have you played pickleball before?
I've not played pickleball, but it's kind of ironic you're saying that because that's the second time in about 3 days I've heard of a noise complaint with pickleball. So,
what was the other time? Was it somebody in your neighborhood?
It was actually bad. My parents are in New Jersey, and they play pickleball, and the court they played on was shut down because neighbors complained of noise. So it's kind of odd you said that.
Wow, so this
they're
is
taking
thing.
Away your parents' leisure activity. That seems unkind, JJ.
Yeah, I guess there's not a whole lot we can do, though. So the court shut down. They'll have to figure something else out.
I feel like that's something like, I don't know why. I guess I just assumed you played like tennis or pickleball, or it just seemed like you seem like the kind of person who wants to stay active, but maybe not just like, you know, run on a treadmill.
Yeah, no, my thing is biking, Peloton biking. So that's what I try to do to stay active.
JJ, on the field, we know the team right now around the 40-game mark. When you see how the first 41 games have gone, do you guys alter where you're at short-term and long-term when it comes to goals?
Yeah, I think we've always got to look at that. Certainly the first 40 games have not gone the way we anticipated. So, you know, there's some young guys that are on the field a little bit more than they were earlier in this year. We'll continue to look at that and other players. But, you know, we have to keep grinding it out. There's something to be said for winning games, and you want to put the team in the best position to win. You know, because we have young players on the field, doesn't mean that we're necessarily in a rebuild, but we are young. You know, we are young, and we have to recognize where we are. As I said last week when we were on the show with each other, you know, right now I think if there's some saving grace, our division, you know, the Twins are playing really well and the other teams aren't. You know, so, you know, we want players coming to the field with the intention to win a game every night. You know, development's part of it, but we really believe that development really happens, you know, from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock prior to the game. And then the game competition needs to be part of development as well. And that also includes winning. So we want to keep our eyes on trying to win games and put the best team out there that we can.
I assume that means that it makes it difficult when you start having those conversations earlier in the season you want. But are you guys already discussing the possibility of trades?
Well, yeah, I mean, we do. I mean, that's nonstop, though. That's I don't think it's necessarily a May 15th, a May 30th, or necessarily a July 31st thing. You know, you're keeping an eye on what clubs are doing, injuries that they suffer, where we may have fits. That's the main focus of our pro department. Our R&D department does a great job keeping us informed on what they think may be happening with other clubs. You don't see a whole lot of trades being made prior to the trading deadline, but once in a while you do. And, you know, if there's an opportunity for us to get better, then we'll jump on it. But right now that hasn't presented itself, but we'll keep working at it, looking at it, and see where it takes us.
With a guy like Brad Keller, JJ, do you find yourself in the conversation of, hey, we got to look for possible partners for a guy like that, or we need to start talking long-term extension? Has an extension talks come up at all with Brad?
We haven't talked extension with Brad directly. You know, internally we do have those discussions. You know, what's the best route for us? You know, Brad's having a great year. There's going to be interest in him. We also have a need for starting pitching, you know, so it's that balance of, is this the right time? Is he the right person? Do we need him long term? And there are things we'll have to determine as we get closer to the deadline, what direction we're going to go.
We're talking to the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo. He joins us here on 610 Sports Radio. I know there's a lot of fans that said, I haven't heard from owner John Sherman at this point. How much conversation have you had and Dayton had with him on the current state of the organization? How frequent are those discussions and what are they like?
Well, Dayton and John speak daily, and then Dayton informs me on what the discussions have been, what his thoughts are. But, you know, they discuss things daily. Obviously, he's on top of what's going on, and, you know, Dayton knows what's going on day to day. So those discussions happen very frequently, and they'll continue to happen.
2 years ago, JJ, if you guys were looking kind of like ahead in time, where did you guys think you are or where you were going to be versus not? I guess it's like, did you think that this was going to be the year you would be contending for playoff spots? 2 years ago?
Well, I think we looked at this year a lot like, you know, going from 2012 into 2013, where you want to be more competitive, you want to win games, you want to be in some sort of race, you want to be in a whether it's a wild card or the divisional title. So we still view it that way. You know, we have to make strides as an organization. We have to make strides with individual players to put ourselves in a position to compete at a higher level. So we still look at it like we're in more so in that phase, somewhere between 12 and 13. We still have guys that are going to be on this major league team that are in the minor leagues. I think 2013, just about everybody that was going to be part of a championship type of run was already up. Maybe with the exception of Yordano Ventura, I think maybe he came up, you know, later in 13. But the guys that were on the field, you know, in 14 and 15 were all on the field in 13. And we're just not quite there yet. There's some guys that we feel need more time in the minor leagues. We're going to give them that time. And once we get them all on the field, I think it'll you know, more closely resemble to what it did at the end of 2013 and then headed into 14.
JJ, is there frustration? I think you and I talked about this on the side, but like, there's got to be some frustration, right, of trying to guess when somebody's ready from AAA, at least from an organizational perspective, because you said how difficult that jump is now from AAA to the majors than it's ever been.
Yeah, it's always been difficult because you just don't know how a player is going to respond when they get to the major leagues. But for whatever reason right now, you know, it's become even more challenging. We don't think essentially what's happening is the veteran player, the 32 to 35-year-old player that may be in AAA that still can help a major league team for a month or so, there's fewer players like that. So the young hitters don't face the veteran pitching that you would typically see in AAA and vice versa. You know, so there's that gap is greater. But then you look at a situation like an MJ Melendez, you know, the story's far from written. But MJ was not swinging the bat particularly well, but because he's on the roster, you know, we do believe in him as a player. You know, because of an injury, MJ gets a chance to come up, and MJ's competing really well. So, you know, that's why it's really difficult to try to figure out exactly when a player is ready to compete in the major leagues at a good enough level that they're not defeated and they lose confidence.
Last week when we had you on, JJ, I think it was just a day or so after Salvi was placed on the IL. Does he continue to be on the right track, though, to hopefully be in that 10 to 14-day timeline again?
Yes, he is. He's not on the trip right now. He stayed back to continue his rehab. He's working with Jeff Blum, our PT. He'll get the work in that he needs, and hopefully the next homestand, somewhere in that homestand, he can get back on the field. I know one thing is Salvi's going to push it. You know, day 10, he's going to want to play, and we're just going to have to determine whether or not he's ready to play at that time. But we do think it's more of like a 14-day thing just because of the injury. It's his left thumb. I mean, that's 150 pitches a night he's catching, and, you know, that's his bottom hand as a hitter. So there's a lot of wear and tear on that thumb. We got to make sure that it's completely healthy before we put him back in the lineup.
Speaking of Royal General Manager J.J. Piccolo here on Cody and Gold, some of the guys you'd mentioned that might be on future contending teams for the Royals, I assume are names you get asked about a lot because we get asked about them a lot. Nick Prado and Vinny Pasquantino, as far as their readiness for the majors, what kind of timeline does the organization see for both of those guys to get to the bigs?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna eye this year at some point, but we do have to feel confident that they're completely ready for it. You know, Nick is on the roster, so he's less complicated than Vinny Pasquantino. We certainly wouldn't let the roster situation, you know, dictate whether Vinny comes up or not. But, you know, with Nick being on the roster, it is a little bit easier transactionally. They're both playing well. They're different types of hitters. Nick's going to provide some slug and maybe a few more homers. You know, there are some things we still feel like he needs to improve on. You know, Vinny is more of a, you know, he's unbelievable with his strikeouts to walk ratio, especially considering how big of a guy he is. He tends to use the whole field really, really well. So there's a lot of good things that he's doing. You know, we have to remind ourselves that, you know, this is his first year in AAA and he only had half a year in AA. And then going back and piecing together what we just talked about a few minutes ago, you know, the level of competition. So trying to balance those evaluations is a little bit tricky, but they are two guys that we expect to help our club, you know, in the near future. We just don't have a target date that we want them up this date or that date. We just let it play out.
JJ Piccolo, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, kind enough as always to join us here on 610 Sports Radio. Thanks for as always for the time.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
There you go, JJ Piccolo with us here on Cody and Gold. And yeah, the names that everybody is kind of keyed in on in AAA, like Nick Brada, we were talking about last year as well. But now, of course, Pasquantino is the name for, you know, if you've been tracking the minor leagues for a while, that's a name you've heard. But for even the most casual fan now knows his name for what he's been able to do so far in AAA.
Well, and as much as Vinny Pasquantino is having a better year right now in AAA versus the other, that if you want to know a reason why Nick Prado would be the guy who got called up in front of Pasquantino, he's already on the 40 man. Like, and he was a more highly thought of prospect. So it's like the MJ thing, right? He's on the roster, highly thought of prospect. We think he might transition better, all those things, etc. Obviously, Prado's missed some time this year because he's been injured, but he's still hitting for power. He's got problems, but he's still hitting for power. Something this team maybe not last night could have used after the 3 home run first inning that eventually led to a loss, unfortunately. But I mean,
don't you feel though, in terms of both of them, at some point if they got called up, that could be until some room actually opens up, meaning some future trades later.
Well,
whether the trade opportunities present themselves later on closer to the trade deadline as well, so you don't have some guys blocking them at that point in time, if the organization at that point is willing to move on from some guys, even if they're under contract still for years to come.
Like, it's got to be. Like, Prado and Pasquantino feel specifically tied to Santana and O'Hearn. Or if Dozier was candidate, that's another guy because he takes up so much time, or Benintendi because then opens up left field.
Yep.
For those guys. And they've put Prado in the outfield, but he is an elite defensive first baseman. So, like, taking him off of, like, to me, this is the frustration. Like, I watched Bobby Wood Jr. play shortstop last night. I'm like, I don't, you know what? I gotta be honest. I feel like he should just play shortstop every night. Like, I know that we're I'm not so sure it just shouldn't be Nicky or somebody else at third. Like, I know he doesn't have the arm for it, and there's reasons why these things, but when I watch Bobby Wood Jr. play short, I'm like, he might be their best shortstop. He might be their best shortstop outside of Mondesi, who now is obviously injured again and hurt for the season. But it's, you know, the tinkering of, like, we're playing more young guys. Do you have to evaluate? He said yes, but then he also said that we still feel like we're somewhere in the 2012-2013 range, which means play better baseball, which means they're going to continue to play these veterans because they value regular season wins. They're not going to just, and the Royals never have, they're not going to just throw in the towels on 110 losses and accept it. They'll fight hard to win 90, you know, lose 97. And I don't think I agree with that philosophy. If you're going to just be bad, you should probably just be bad and get the picks. And I understand how tanking and why teams end up doing it in sports. But that's who the Royals are. So either you think fundamentally they need to handle their organization different, and there's areas in which I think they do, but there's also accepting some things you cannot change. And that's one of the things about KC. They don't just give up on regular season wins.
Guys, don't you think it's kind of unfortunate that JJ Piccolo doesn't play pickleball, as he told us at the beginning of that interview? Otherwise, we could call him JJ Piccolo Ball.
No.
JJ Piccolo Ball.
So it's easier with the three of us.
Pickleball.
Yes.
Piccolo Ball.
His parents can certainly explain the rules to him. What if, since we could use a fourth, what if we invite JJ to come with us when you learn? Me and JJ versus you and Gold.
Might have to wait for.
Might have to wait for the offseason. I'm pretty sure.
What, you
he
think
said
he doesn't just have a free hour in the middle of the day?
I don't think he said he doesn't play. He said he's more
one
into
free hour.
He's more into biking.
Yeah, Peloton guy.
That free hour that he has in the middle of the day, he's hopping on the Peloton.
I bet he's got one in his office, doesn't he?
Probably somebody who could make that happen.
Just saying hypothetically, you think he could probably...
I would imagine the square footage of his office would allow for a Peloton
bike. If someone gave you a Peloton bike, you'd be on that thing every day, wouldn't you?
I use an extra bike now, so I guess my answer is
the
yes.
The Peloton. I would never pay the money to have one.
But I just put
I actually have a website. You can get a discounted black market thing.
For the class,
yeah, I'm talking about the actual bike.
Because you have to have a subscription
on top of it. Yeah, the subscription's not the part.
It's the $2,000 bike part.
It's the $2,000 indoor bike.
I don't know. It's probably like a gym membership, though. It's like 50, 60, 70 bucks a month probably to have a Peloton membership.
I think the company should pay for it. They should promote.
Get everybody Peloton.
They should promote fitness. No, they should just give us all monthly stipends for fitness and wellness.
for personal training, yes. Boxing lessons, whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is that I desire.
Exactly. Steroids. I don't know if they can pay for that. Write something
down. Nick's notable. Well, we
legally cannot probably pay for steroids.
We already said, if we are going to do we're working on the legal side of the boxing match between Cody and I and training, we said, if they say, hey, do you want drug testing or not? We said, it's not a requirement. Save us some money.
They're going to say, okay, so we've got this guy to come in and monitor drug testing. You guys are both going to say, actually, we'll waive the rights to drug testing. You know, speaking of wellness and fitness, it's that time of year for the NFL. It's the off season. Guys off doing their own thing. Who knows how guys are spending the off season? But this is my favorite story. Every year around this time.
Best shape of their life.
You know who today's lucky winner is? Mac Jones, Patriots second-year quarterback Kendrick Bourne, told media yesterday, quote, he's in the best shape of his life.
He's 23 years old.
I was in the best shape of my life at 23, too.
He's 23 years old, and he's in the second year of his NFL career. The fact that it's already like, he's in the best. That should come when Mac Jones 31 years old or something.
Ben Roethlisberger did it last year. Ben Roethlisberger waited until the last year of his career to say, I finally started, you know, addressing my fitness and my conditioning.
I mean, Mac Jones is a little chubbier.
It's too late. You waited too long. That picture of Mac Jones after winning the national championship where he's standing. I don't remember who he was standing next to, but it's just like him shirtless with a cigar.
Yes.
With the most unflattering body you've ever seen for an athlete.
Somebody posted like side-by-side photos. I think it was Tyler Lockett. And, oh my God, it's a terrible body.
It's the nipples.
Tyler Lockett.
They're a little puffy.
Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. And somebody was like, how do I explain to people who don't follow the NFL that the guy on the left was the better fantasy wide receiver than the guy on the right? DK, totally shredded, ridiculous. Then just regular, like, normal gold body, whatever. And Mac Jones, it's like, he's pudgy.
Yeah, so here's
he's
what
kind of pudgy.
Here's what Mac Jones said. Quote, I just cleaned up my diet. I've learned
you
more
soda,
this offseason than I probably ever have about nutrition, sleep, wellness, all that stuff. And I owe it all to Cody Tapp, Cody Gold, and 610 Sports Radio for telling me about the soda weight loss program.
That's exactly what happened.
He better be. Does he want to be good at football?
Good for him for, you know, knowing that now that an organization has continued to tie millions of dollars in the future of their franchise to him, that he decided, you know what, maybe I should eat better. Good for him for finally realizing that.
I'm glad that guys are doing it in year two instead of Big Ben when you're 34. 14.
Uh-huh.
You're trying to salvage whatever's left of your career. Too late, bub.
Those are always funny ones. To be like, you know, I've really started to pay attention. You're like, you're 33.
What did you do for the first 14 years of your NFL
career? Some of
career?
You can get away with it. I remember it was leaked what DK Metcalf's diet was. Like, oh, I don't eat. I eat like
gummy worms.
I like eat gummy worms for the first 12 hours of the day, and then I eat some steak at night, and you're like, what? Okay, well, he's different.
He does three bags of
look
candy.
Look at his body and look at yours.
DK is
three. You have to do something different.
Three bags of candy, drinks one coffee, and consumes just one full meal per day. And we know DK Metcalf is absolutely ridiculous freak of a human being.
I wonder how long he can get away with that for. Metabolism will catch up with you at some point, you think, or maybe
he just works out
just
more and more.
One. Yeah. When you work out, Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco always said he would eat McDonald's like two or three times a day.
Tyreek Hill says he eats gummy. Like he's mentioned some of his bad
dieting. But those guys burn 18,000 calories a day, so it does. Like Chris Jones with the snow cones. Didn't matter. He was out there working. Every day, he's allowed a little bit of sugar.
They better have the Kona Ice snow cone truck up there again in August, in late July, when we're up in St. Joe again.
Seems like good business.
It better be up there.
You know, I was going to ask you guys to each give yourself an evaluation in a certain area, but instead I'm going to ask you to look across the desk and evaluate each other. Rapid fire, 1 out of 10, how would you grade the other person's head of hair? Gold, you go first with Cody.
Probably like a 7 for Cody.
All right, Cody.
There's a little bit of thinning in some spots for Cody.
I don't know, 8 or 9. He's got a good head of hair.
Gold has fantastic head of hair. Can pretty much do whatever he wants.
It's not the perfect head of hair, but it's a good head
Instead,
of hair.
Instead, he has had the same haircut the entire time I've known him.
I switched. My freshman and sophomore year of college, it was not this. Now, Nick, what's great?
It's currently
Nick?
A full head of hair right now. I don't have any like bald spots or anything.
Yeah,
so
no.
Go ahead. Okay, right?
You guys can grade me.
You know what? Honestly, because of the way you keep it cut,
always very short,
very flattering. Even though I think it's thinning a little bit more, I would give you.
I'm thinning on top. That's why I keep
it thinning
short.
On top.
That's
keep it high and tight. Short.
Okay.
I would say, considering all of that, it's still a 7. I think you do a job with that head of hair.
If I were to try and grow my hair out as long as either one of you guys did, that number would drop dramatically.
Yeah,
you
don't
put
think
me down at like a 3
or 4.
That,
but that's the key. Know what looks. You know, you gotta.
I'll go shorter as my hair gets more.
The
bald.
Reason I bring that up is there may be a new medical breakthrough in hair loss treatment.
Okay.
Concert Pharmaceuticals said yesterday that its experimental treatment for a severe form of hair loss, we know this as alopecia, could restore a nearly full head of hair in 30 to 40% of people.
This would have saved us from the whole Chris Rock and Will Smith deal. This would have saved all of it. That's all the whole genesis of the thing would have been over.
Never would have been able to get that joke off.
Never would have happened.
Wouldn't have been relevant.
Nope. No.
Do you guys think if at some point in your life you start to lose your hair, will you just accept it, shave it off, go bald? Are you going to hold on every waking moment that you have
with
that hair?
Depends on where I lose it.
Well,
on the back, trying to grow it long, huge mistake. Never do that. Keep it short.
I think that's fair. Also, it depends on when. Like, if you tell me here in the next 5 years something happens, I have no problem seeking out, getting things to fix it.
Yeah.
But if I'm 50, it's a little like... It depends on when it actually happens, and to Cody's point,
relationship status might factor into that. If I'm starting to go bald, well, I've been together for 20 years almost.
I'm just gonna be honest with you. I don't know this, but I could imagine. I just don't know if you have the head to pull off being bald. I think
I have a big scar down the middle of it, so I can't go bald. I gotta go short. I'm gonna look dangerous or something.
There's a giant mole on the top of my head, so I feel like the bald thing
I got a big head. I think I would go more hats. I become a bigger hat guy.
But you can't wear hats in every situation.
No, I'll have to. I'm gonna keep it short. If I go bald, I'm gonna keep it short.
Unless you become the guy who, even when like in formal settings, you just wear like a fedora, one of those taxi cab driver hats.
If you're like 65, I'll go flat cap. Straight old dude flat cap. If I'm 65, flat cap.
Some people can pull it off.
I heard Fesco this morning talking about Rogaine. His time this morning.
Like he's using it?
I think he said, they were joking about Costco. He said he was using the Kirkland brand of Rogaine. Same thing.
Trying to hold on.
Rogaine's a bitch, though. You have to use it twice a day.
Did you try it? Twice a day?
No, I just heard about guys. No, I've never needed it, really. But I've heard about guys using it, and they say you have to use it. Because I have a friend who got hair plugs.
So you went Joe Buck.
How good are
they?
Are they like Drew Brees good? Or are they like
really good? Like really good. He was losing hair like when we were in high school.
Oh, okay.
So he
was
very, very, very self-conscious about it. So he saved up for a long time. He saved up for about a decade to buy hair plugs.
Wow.
And now he was like that. He wore a hat everywhere. And now he has a really nice.
Keeps the hair out.
Artificial head of hair.
Look, if I spent that kind of money, I'm going to make sure.
If you had unlimited funds though, Nick, and they're like, hey, we'll get you hair plugs. It'll look as good as his. You'd be like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, because I want to have the versatility to be able to grow my hair out. I want to have it down past my shoulders. You know what I mean?
I've never had hair that long. In high school, I did.
In high school, I had it down to, not to my shoulders, but I could pull my hair into my mouth.
Really? My hair's never been that long.
Not even close.
I've never even had like long enough hair for a bowl cut. It has been like this length or shorter my entire life.
Coming up next, it's Cody's Corner, and as the text line has pointed out, there is one comment that Cody just made that we do have to address as well. Next.
You're listening to Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2.
How hairy is your back? You got hair on your back. I got zero hair. I've got like 2 chest hairs. How much chest hair do you have?
As I'm taking my shirt off, let's do this another time.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!